Picture this. You are a pulmonologist in Delaware, seeing your patient Barbara, who is preparing for her long-awaited winter season in Florida, and has some questions for you before her long flight. She says, "I read how the cabin is only pressurized to feel like 8,000 feet altitude. That's like being in the mountains. It's going to be hard enough not to smoke for so many hours on the plane. How am I going to breathe at 8,000 feet with my emphysema?" You ignore the urge to lecture her on smoking cessation and ponder how to explain the effect of her emphysema on gas exchange, even on the ground, and how that might be exacerbated at 30,000 or 8,000 feet. Welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Laurel Toft, bringing respiratory from our bricks to your ears. After completing this section, you will be able to 1. Describe the components of the respiratory membrane. 2. Explain the components and function of surfactant. 3. List the factors that affect the rate of gas exchange across the respiratory membrane. 4. Describe the alveolar gas equation and explain how it is used. And 5. Define respiratory quotient. Part 1. What is the respiratory membrane? Respiration is the process by which we exchange oxygen and carbon dioxide at the level of the alveoli and red blood cells. For gas exchange to occur, alveoli filled with oxygen and capillaries filled with red blood cells need to be coupled. This coupling happens when blood is delivered to the alveoli through the pulmonary arteries and their capillaries. This is referred to as perfusion, represented by the letter Q, which makes total sense. If we look at a slide of lung tissue, the histology reveals a rich network of capillaries that surround each alveolus to provide blood for gas exchange. This is called the alveolar capillary unit. The respiratory membrane is the barrier between air and blood. It is a thin membrane that allows for the diffusion of oxygen and carbon dioxide between the alveoli and capillary blood. This respiratory membrane is made up of type 1 and type 2 pneumocytes. Type 1 pneumocytes, pneumo means lung and cytes mean cells, are squamous epithelial cells that make up 97% of alveolar surfaces. These are thin, elongated cells surrounding the alveoli that look like small bodies, the nuclei, with outstretched arms, the cell cytoplasm, encompassing the alveoli in a big hug. Type 2 pneumocytes are cube-shaped cells that act as stem cells to create new pneumocytes. They also secrete pulmonary surfactant, a mixture made up of proteins and lipids. Now, what does surfactant do? Well, first you have to know that alveoli have a natural tendency to collapse on expiration as their radius decreases. This simply means that while exhaling, the alveoli are decreasing in size and have the tendency to want to collapse on themselves as they get smaller and smaller. However, this doesn't happen in healthy individuals because of surfactant produced by type 2 pneumocytes. Surfactant decreases alveolar surface tension and allows the alveoli to avoid collapsing. Now, here's a quick clinical correlation. Neonatal respiratory distress syndrome can develop in newborns and is caused by a deficit of surfactant. Surfactant starts being made in fetal lungs between 24 and 27 weeks in pregnancy, but levels do not reach adequate levels for fetal lung maturity until around week 34 to 35. This means that neonates born around or before that time are at risk for immature lungs and inadequate surfactant. Part 2. What factors affect gas exchange? To know what affects gas exchange across the respiratory membrane, you need to remember the Fick law of diffusion. It basically states that the movement of molecules through a membrane is proportionately related to the pressure gradient and the surface area, and inversely proportional to thickness. To put it simply, this means diffusion will increase when there is an increase in surface area or pressure gradient within the alveolar capillary unit. Diffusion will decrease if the membrane becomes thicker. For example, if the thickness of the respiratory membrane increases with the pathological state, gas exchange will decrease. And this makes sense, right? The thicker the membrane, the harder it is for molecules to pass through. The pressure gradient to consider in alveolar gas exchange is the difference in oxygen and carbon dioxide between the alveoli and pulmonary capillaries within that alveolar capillary unit. And the surface area to consider is the total surface area of all the alveolar capillary units. So now, listen in carefully. Here's the Fick equation. Q equals K times delta P times S over T. Let's say that again. Q equals K delta P times S over T. Q represents flux, or the movement of molecules, P the pressure gradient, S the surface area, T thickness, and K is a diffusibility constant of the gas. So to put that equation into words, the movement of molecules is equal to the pressure gradient times the diffusibility constant times the surface area divided by the thickness of the membrane. For gases, K, the diffusibility constant, is proportional to the gas's solubility and inversely proportional to its molecular weight. In clinical medicine, K times S over T are lumped together to define the diffusing capacity of the lung, or DL, which is measured using carbon monoxide gas. And just to be cute, the equation is rearranged, remember algebra, like this. DL equals Q divided by delta P. So breaking this one down, the diffusing capacity of the lungs is equal to the flux of molecules divided by the pressure gradient. DL equals Q divided by delta P. Time for a knowledge check-in. Question: what happens to gas exchange if the surface area of alveoli decreases? According to the Fick law of diffusion, a decrease in the surface area of alveoli causes a decrease in gas exchange. Part 3. How do we measure the amount of oxygen in the alveoli? Warning! Warning! You are about to enter another equation zone. And this one's a doozy, but hang in there, this is important and interesting stuff. Now that we recognize that the oxygen pressure gradient between the alveoli and the capillary is an important factor in alveolar gas exchange, we need to be able to calculate the oxygen partial pressure within the alveoli, called P big A O2. The P big A O2 is calculated using the alveolar gas equation. The alveolar gas equation is complex. We will go through each step in the equation. An important shortcut to remember is that when discussing partial pressures, an uppercase or big A represents the alveoli, and a lowercase or little a represents the artery. Okay, first, let's learn about each abbreviation in the equation and what they represent. P big A O2 represents the alveolar partial pressure of oxygen. FiO2, the fraction of inspired oxygen. PATM, the pressure of the atmosphere. PH2O, pressure of water within the lung. P little a CO2 is the arterial pressure of CO2, carbon dioxide. And RQ, a respiratory quotient. Okay, next, let's think about the components of what determines the partial pressure of oxygen in the alveoli, the P big A O2. In essence, the partial pressure of oxygen in the alveoli is equal to the partial pressure of inspired oxygen minus the partial pressure of CO2. Think of this like there's only a limited amount of pressure from gas that the alveoli can take. By the way, this is Dalton's law, which states that partial pressures of each separate gas within a system are additive and equal to the total pressure of the system. So the amount of pressure from the CO2 must be subtracted from the pressure available for the oxygen. So when we put this all together, we're saying that the P big A O2 is equal to the partial pressure of inspired oxygen minus the partial pressure of CO2. And that goes like this. P big A O2 equals FiO2 times, in parentheses, PATM minus PH2O. All of that minus PaCO2 divided by RQ. Now, let's take a closer look at the first component of the equation, the one consisting of FiO2, PATM, and PH2O. For the air we breathe, the total system pressure is atmospheric pressure. So the pressure of all gases at the level of the alveoli cannot be atmospheric pressure. At sea level, the atmospheric pressure is 760 millimeters of mercury, and all of the pressures of gases combined cannot be above 760 millimeters of mercury. As the air flows in the nostrils down through the trachea and the respiratory tree, air is humidified. The pressure of water, or pH2O, contributes to the total pressure at the level of the alveoli. The pressure of water under standard conditions is 47 millimeters of mercury, so we plug that into our equation. PATM minus pH2O equals 760 millimeters of mercury minus 47 millimeters of mercury equals 713 millimeters of mercury. The remaining pressure, in our example, 713 millimeters of mercury, is made up of a variety of inhaled gases. In normal room air, the two major inhaled gases are nitrogen and oxygen. Under standard conditions, room air consists of 21% oxygen, with the rest being mostly nitrogen. We call this the fraction of inspired oxygen, or 0.21. So the pressure of oxygen as it reaches the alveoli can be calculated using the following formula. Pressure of inspired oxygen equals PATM minus pH2O times the fraction of inspired oxygen. So at sea level, that means 760 millimeters of mercury minus 47 millimeters of mercury, which is 713, times 0.21. for a total of 150 millimeters of mercury as the pressure of inspired oxygen. Now let's get clinical. You can alter the fraction of inspired oxygen by placing a patient on a 100% oxygen mask. In this case, nitrogen will be washed out and the fraction of oxygen within the inhaled gas is 1, or 100%. Okay, now it's time to look at the second term in our alveolar gas equation, PCO2 and RQ. The remaining pressure to consider within this alveolar gas equation is the partial pressure of carbon dioxide, PCO2, at the level of the alveoli. Because the air breathed in contains hardly any CO2, the CO2 breathed out of the lung is mainly from the body's metabolism. And because CO2 equilibrates fast across the alveolar membrane, the partial pressure of CO2 in the alveoli, or PAcO2, equals the partial pressure of CO2 in the artery, or PaCO2. Since it's difficult to measure things directly in the alveoli, we use PaCO2 in the alveolar gas equation. But now what to make of the respiratory quotient, or RQ, in the equation? The alveolar gas equation tries to estimate the partial pressure of O2 at the alveoli once equilibrium is reached. CO2 and oxygen essentially compete for space within the alveoli. So as CO2 diffuses into the alveoli, oxygen diffuses into the red blood cells. The respiratory quotient represents this equilibrium. Let's take a closer look. Part 4. What is the respiratory quotient? The respiratory quotient is defined as the amount of CO2 that is produced divided by the amount of oxygen consumed in any given time, where CO2 and oxygen are in the same units, usually liters. RQ is best understood theoretically as a measure of a person's metabolism at the cellular level. It can be measured from indirect calorimetry, a method that measures the oxygen inhaled and the CO2 exhaled by a patient. The respiratory quotient is determined by the different nutrients being metabolized. When the body undergoes pure carbohydrate oxidation, the RQ is around 1. And when the body uses pure fat oxidation, the RQ is around 0.7. Given that most humans use a combination of carbohydrates and fat in metabolism, the RQ is generally considered to be 0.8. However, the RQ will increase in patients on a high-carb diet and decrease in patients on a high-fat diet. No comments here about the healthiness of those diets. This means that more CO2 will be produced per unit of oxygen consumed in a patient on a high-carb diet than on a high-fat diet. So, in equation terms, RQ equals CO2 production divided by O2 consumption. Knowledge check time! What is the respiratory quotient? The respiratory quotient is the amount of CO2 that is produced divided by the amount of oxygen consumed. Part 5. Putting it all together. The partial pressure of oxygen at the level of the alveoli is affected by the fraction of oxygen within inspired air, the total atmospheric pressure, the pressure of water within the lungs, and the amount of CO2 being expired. So you can increase the partial pressure of oxygen at the level of the alveoli by increasing the fraction of inspired oxygen. This is done by providing supplemental oxygen, like with a face mask. You can increase the partial pressure of oxygen at the alveoli by increasing the total atmospheric pressure surrounding the patient. Hyperbaric oxygen chambers do this. You can increase minute ventilation, meaning have the patient breathe faster or deeper, to decrease the partial pressure of CO2 and therefore increase the partial pressure of oxygen at the alveoli. We do this naturally when we exercise, some of us more than others. And in clinical settings, the partial pressure of water stays constant. And that's it for alveolar gas exchange. Thanks for sticking with me through all the math. Let's check your knowledge and see what you've learned today. First, what are the components of the respiratory membrane? The respiratory epithelium is where gas exchange occurs. It consists of type 1 pneumocytes, type 2 pneumocytes, and the capillary endothelium. Next, can you list the factors that affect the rate of gas exchange across the respiratory membrane? Hint, think of the Fick law of diffusion. The Fick law of diffusion states that the movement of molecules through the respiratory membrane is proportionately related to the change in pressure gradient and the surface area, and is inversely proportional to the thickness of the membrane. And lastly, can you describe the components that make up the alveolar gas equation? The alveolar gas equation calculates the partial pressure of oxygen inside the alveoli. There are two main components, the partial pressure of oxygen coming in and the partial pressure of CO2 in the alveoli. Oxygen is determined by the fraction of O2 in the air times the atmospheric pressure, minus the pressure of water humidifying the air. The CO2 pressure is just the pressure of CO2 in the alveoli divided by the respiratory quotient. And we're done. Armed with your newfound knowledge of alveolar gas exchange, let's look back to our patient from earlier in this episode. Barbara is your patient with emphysema. She is willing to stop smoking in order to fly to her winter home in Florida, but is still concerned about having trouble breathing at the higher altitude. You recognize that the atmospheric pressure, even in a pressurized cabin, will be lower than at sea level. You remember the alveolar gas equation, which states, that the partial pressure of oxygen in the alveoli does depend upon the atmospheric pressure to a certain extent. With the altitude of 8,000 feet, the partial pressure of alveolar oxygen is reduced from 100 to approximately 70 millimeters of mercury in healthy people. This is usually tolerated without a problem. But you mentioned to Barbara that her emphysema also destroys alveoli, making gas exchange more difficult due to less surface area. You think she will tolerate the flight just fine, but urge her to quit smoking completely before she needs supplemental oxygen, even at sea level, to overcome her deteriorating alveolar surface area. And that's our show. If you liked this episode, send us a comment or give us a thumbs up. Until next time.